Hey everyone, Eric Nelson here with a very special interview leading up to this weekend's festivities at the National Wrestling Hall of Fame Dan Gable Museum in Waterloo, Iowa. This weekend is the George Tragos Lou Thesz Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame. That's Friday, July 22nd and Saturday, July 23rd. And one of the men participating in the activities this weekend is with me here tonight. He is the Frank Gotch Award recipient and an all-time legend in professional wrestling, Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Never thought I'd say those words, but how are you, Hacksaw?
Very good, Eric. Thank you very much for having me on the show.
Well, thank you for being here. We really appreciate it. Let me go run through very quickly the events happening this weekend.
Sure.
Friday, there's a golf tournament in the morning. Afternoon, there will be a training session with Jim Ross and Gerald Briscoe. That will take place at the Five Sullivan Brothers Convention Center. And then Friday night, Impact Pro Wrestling is putting on a wrestling show. And Hacksaw, you will be there, correct?
Yes, correct. Yeah, I'll be there and always looking out for the young talent. And, of course, have an opportunity to meet some of the fans, take some pictures, sign some autographs, and just tell the fans thanks for 32 years of support.
Great. Good deal. And I'll thank you probably multiple times during this interview, so let me thank you right now off the bat.
Sure.
Saturday, a roundtable panel discussion takes place featuring the legends of professional wrestling. That afternoon will be an autograph signing. Jim, you'll be there for that too, correct?
Yes, sir. I sure will.
All right. And then Saturday evening is the actual induction banquet, also at the Five Sullivan Brothers Convention Center in Waterloo, Iowa. So I kind of like to do these chronologically, and this is probably going to sound like a weird, I guess, preamble to this question. You're such an iconic figure in pro wrestling. I just imagine you were born with a beard and just a barrel chest and a 2x4 and everything. Were you a big kid? What was Jim Duggan like as a child?
Yeah, I was a relatively big kid, but I really wasn't a wrestling fan growing up. I never watched professional wrestling. Never even knew much about it. I was mainly a football player. It was my main sport growing up.
Sure. Sure, and you played that in high school. You actually lettered in four sports in high school.
Correct. Yes, I had 10 varsity letters. I had 4 in football, 3 in track, 2 in wrestling, and 1 in basketball, if you can believe that.
Great. Well, combine that with you were voted team captain at Southern Methodist on the football team. What drives you, what drives Jim Duggan to succeed at such a high level like this?
Well, you know, I think the main thing was I had some great support at home. You know, my dad and mom, God bless them, were very supportive. I have 3 older sisters. They were supportive with me. You know, and I always said my dad, he was my best man at my wedding. He was my hero. He was my role model. So I think he instilled a lot of attributes to me. And just growing up in such a great atmosphere. You know, a lot of times you hear about hard luck stories and stuff. I came from the other side. It was kind of like Mayberry growing up. It was a great town, Glens Falls, New York, a great family, and just a great young life. Beautiful place
sure.
to grow up.
Oh, that's great. And actually, you mentioned you were on vacation over this last week up in the Adirondacks. About how close is that to Glens Falls? I don't know my New York geography that well.
Yeah, well, the Glens Falls is right there in the foothills of the Adirondacks, and just north of us is Lake Placid. We're quite a ways. A lot of people, you say New York, they automatically assume the city. But
right.
We're from way upstate New York, closer to Montreal than New York. So the cabin's even a little farther up. So we were up there. I took my 2 daughters and my wife up there for about 10 days.
Good deal. That sounds like fun. And I imagine, you keep yourself busy. You're doing wrestling shows and autograph signings, conventions, that sort of thing. So I guess, you know, congratulations for being able to take a few days off and actually take a vacation.
Well, yeah, thank you. Yeah, of course, my oldest daughter just got a volleyball scholarship to St. Andrews, which is a Division II school here and actually up in North Carolina. I live in South Carolina now. But you know, her being a senior and my youngest daughter is going to be a sophomore, so we thought it would be a good time to go up and have some quality family time.
That's good. And it sounds like the amateur athletic background is being passed on to your next generation.
Yeah, it sure is. You know, and that's one thing, Erica, nowadays, you know, kids that play football, they have off-season training, they have, you know, spring practice and all that. You know, in the old days, I was able to play 4 different sports, and I actually was able to excel. I won the New York State Wrestling Championship my senior year, which was the first for anybody from our section, which would be like a division in most states. My shot put record from 1973 still stands today, if you can believe it or not. And, of course, football was my main sport. So I was lucky enough to be recruited by a lot of different universities. I actually went on 8 different recruiting trips and even went out to Iowa State where I met Chris Taylor for a wrestling scholarship.
Oh, great. Well, speaking of being recruiting, if I've got my story correct, you were actually being looked at by Fritz Von Erich when you were at Southern Methodist. Is that correct?
Yes,
or on your
correct.
Way to Southern Methodist?
Well, I on a recruiting trip, that's where I ended up going to school with Southern Methodist down in Dallas. But on a recruiting trip, I had a chance meeting with Fritz Von Erich, and he suggested professional wrestling. Of course, I was a young guy, short hair, clean shaven, and was playing football. And I said, no, the NFL is the way for me to go. And, of course, I was young and naive and didn't realize what was involved in becoming a professional wrestler. And Fritz opened the door for me, and after a couple of years playing pro ball, I made the move to Fritz Von Erich and started my wrestling career.
Sure. And from there, you worked in Hawaii, you worked in Georgia, San Antonio, you worked in New York for a couple of different stints. You know, we grew up watching you in WWF in the mid-'80s and early 90s, classic stuff then. You worked in Louisiana for Bill Watts, and actually when you mentioned your, I think you said it was a 900-mile drive to the Adirondacks and back. First thing I thought of was all the old stories I'd heard about guys working for Bill Watts and having to drive hundreds of miles from one spot to the next.
Yeah, 2,000 to 3,000 miles a week was kind of average there in the Mid-South territory. But, you know,
wow.
Of course, we were all a bunch of young guys, and it was a great time. You know, looking back at it, the wrestlers are much closer than they are now. You know, we'd have 4 or 5 guys in the car, and you get to know each other on those long drives, that's for sure.
Oh, sure, I bet. Sharing a lot of stories and good times and bad.
Yeah, but, you know, looking back at it, it was a lot of traveling, but it was a lot of fun. And of course, I, you know, was able to perfect my skill. I mean, a lot of folks don't realize that, you know, professional wrestling in particular, you know, that people say, they already have a perceived notion of what professional wrestling is like. But as I tell the young boys that will be working on Friday night and the kids I see around the country, or actually around the world, I said, you know, there's 1,500 NFL football players playing this year. There's 1,000 NBA basketball players. There's maybe 120 wrestlers making a living on contract. That's extremely competitive business. You know, it's television. It's much tougher than sports. And not only do you have kids from our country, you got guys coming from Australia and Japan and Europe to try to get in. So it's a very competitive business.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm going to follow up a little bit on that here in a second. Actually, I was going to ask about some of the territories you've worked, some of the promoters you've worked for. Can you think of any, was there like a favorite territory you worked? You know, not to put anybody on the spot, but, you know, some good attributes of some of the promoters and bookers you worked for? Some things.
Well, I think Paul Bosch was probably was known as the last of the great payoff guys, you know, down in Houston, Texas. Uh-huh. And, of course, Paul was quite a gentleman. He was a big war hero in World War II. Wrote a couple of books. He was an outstanding member of the community. He was just a class act, Paul Bosch. But besides Paul, I guess, you know, Bill Watts, you hear a lot of horror stories about Bill Watts. But Bill kind of took a liking to me, guys like myself, my good friend, God bless him, Dr. Death Steve Williams, and, of course, another guy gone, Junkyard Dog. He kind of took care of us and took a liking. So I had a good time there in Mid-South.
Great, great. And like I said earlier, so many of us grew up watching you in the WWF in the mid to late 80s, early 90s, you know, winning the first Royal Rumble in 1988, your feud with Randy Savage in 89, classic stuff. What are some of the other, some of your favorite storylines or some of your favorite opponents from throughout your career?
Well, without question, the highlight of my career, I think, was probably wrestling Andre the Giant, main event, Madison Square Garden. You know, we had over 20,000 people at the Garden. And I tell folks, no matter what profession you're in, if you're in a music or an artist or whatever, if you sell out Madison Square Garden, you still sell out Madison Square Garden. And it
right.
was quite an accomplishment for me. And, of course, having the opportunity to be in the ring with Andre the Giant so often, that was definitely a unique experience because he could be an irritable giant.
a lot of, I don't know if I'd classify them as horror stories with Andre, but a lot of interesting stories about Andre the Giant as well.
Yeah, I think anybody, especially my generation, of course, as you said, the WWF days, that was kind of the golden age of professional wrestling. I mean, people really remember that. And I think any of the survivors from that era will all have Andre stories. He was actually quite a man.
That's great. You know, we're talking about a guy like Andre the Giant, 7'4", 500 pounds, and we're talking about JYD. Obviously, you Hacksaw Jim Duggan, like I said before, you've got that kind of iconic look, the barrel-chested guy, the beard, the, you know, everything that we consider iconic about the way that you guys look. I guess, I don't know if I'd call this a complaint about professional wrestling. Maybe it's a criticism of the last 10 years is the lack of difference in the way some of the newer guys look and sometimes their personalities when you look at a whole company's roster. You know, you got a bunch of guys that are 6'1", 230, cut, tan, that sort of thing.
Yeah, full body guys and the unique characters that we had back in the 80s, that's for sure. And, of course, the WWE has evolved and still evolving. And I know a lot of folks, especially hardcore wrestling fans, are critical of the WWE. But my last year with WWE, we were down into South America. I wrestled in Santiago, Chile, Lima, Peru, Panama City, and El Salvador, of course, and we always go to Japan, Australia, and all through Europe. It's unbelievable the reach and scope of the WWE. And I do, as we talked later about charity events, I do a lot of charity events, and I know a lot of NFL guys and Major League Baseball people. And I'm like, world champions? You guys been to Japan, Australia, you know, Europe? They go, well, we've been to Europe. I said, yeah, I know. I gave you that one, fellas. But it's amazing the appeal of just two guys rolling around in the ring is worldwide.
Absolutely, yeah. And when you go to these events and you talked about, you see these younger guys and you're talking to them, are there particular attributes or just things, you know, character-wise that you tell them, you know, that kind of focus on this? Or, I mean, it probably depends on the wrestler too, but, you know, are there still ways to differentiate yourself from the rest of the crop and sort of rise
you know,
that way?
If the kids come up to me and ask me, I'll be glad to give my opinion and my insight. You know, you don't want to come in and try to tell everybody how to do their deal. But what I always say, you have to have a character that is close to home. You know, Hacksaw is just an extension of my personality. Mm-hmm. And a lot of guys, they try to be like handsome so-and-so or big bad so-and-so, and it just doesn't fit their character. So
right.
I said, you know, you got to have something that's close to home and close to your own personality. And, of course, and just feeling comfortable in the ring, which is easy to say but hard to do. I mean, like I played football for years, and I always had 10 other guys around me. I had helmet and shoulder pads. The fans were 50 yards away. All of a sudden, I'm in short shorts and patent leather boots, and the fans are 5 feet away. It's quite an adjustment.
Oh, I'm sure. Speaking of personality, it's something that I think people could tell throughout your wrestling career that you are just a genuine person, and I think that goes to your personality, and I think that in turn goes to the fact that you've done so much good charity work. You're being given the Frank Gotch Award this year by the George Tragos Luthes Wrestling Hall of Fame, and they give the Frank Gotch Award to people who bring positive recognition to professional wrestling for their works outside of the ring. You've done a great deal of work with the Variety Club of Iowa. You've traveled to Des Moines, Iowa to host the telethon. I guess what motivates you to do that kind of charity work?
I don't know. I think I'd have to go back to my folks. You know, I've always trying to be active in my community, and you know, I do probably over 200 hours a year for the past 10 years of charity work. Of course, I do Variety, which is a huge telethon. This year, we raised around $4 million, I believe. So in the 10 years I've been there, we raised over $40 million. Make-A-Wish Foundation, the Special Olympics. And I have an opportunity. I just moved to South Carolina. You know, we serve Christmas dinner to the veterans. So it's something I enjoy, and it's nice to kind of give back to my community and let my daughters kind of get a sense of community also.
Sure, absolutely. Talk about the museum itself, the Hall of Fame Museum here in Waterloo. They like to focus on guys with the amateur athletic background as well. And again, this particular award is one that focuses on people who bring, like I said, the positive recognition to pro wrestling. It's not like an apples and apples comparison. It's kind of apples and oranges. But how would you compare your induction into the WWE Hall of Fame this year with being given this honor by the National Wrestling Hall of Fame?
Well, I think the WWE honor of being inducted in their Hall of Fame is quite a bit different. It's pretty political, and it's all what happens inside the ring and what happens in professional wrestling. And of course, it's great to be honored, and it's something, a huge feather in my cap, something to be able to be remembered by down the road. But of course, the Frank Gotch Award is something I'm extremely proud of, because it's not something that I did in the ring. It's something that, like you said, about my own personality. So to be recognized for doing something like that, you know, not that you do it for recognition, that's for sure, because I've been doing it for years, but to be recognized for that, that's very proud.
Great. Well, as an Iowan, I'm very excited to, A, have this particular Hall of Fame and museum in my home state, and B, to have Hacksaw Jim Duggan come this weekend. I'm excited to meet you. You said it was fun for you to, you know, see the young wrestlers and interact with the crowd and some of the other guys that are coming in. I'm excited to have you guys here in my backyard. This is going to be fun. This is like Disneyland for me every year.
Well, thanks, Aaron. It's great. You know, and I tell you, a lot of people wonder about the tie-in with amateur wrestling, which I believe is the toughest sport there is. I mean, it's no objectivity. If you want to wrestle somebody and a wrestle off to see who's going to win, that's it. It's not a judge contest. It's not, you know, it's one-on-one. And, of course, guys have to suck the weight down. It's an extremely tough sport. But professional wrestling, I know a lot of folks are very critical, especially in the amateur world. But to those folks, I say, come give us a shot one time, and 99% of the time, you're going to have a great night out. It's sports entertainment at its best.
There you go. You heard it directly from Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Well, Jim, I really appreciate you taking time out to talk to me, and, again, look forward to seeing you this weekend. Anything else coming up you want to mention? Anybody in particular you want to mention?
Nobody in particular. I got a book coming out around Christmas time, so we're excited about that. Triumph Books out of Chicago, and I just recently signed a contract, and we got to have them 75,000 words by October 1st, so I'm banging that out and excited about that. And, of course, I'm still out scouting young talent for the WWE, and every once in a while I still get in the ring. So I'm able to do a labor of love, so it's been great.
All right, glad to hear. Well, once again, everybody, this weekend, it's Friday, July 22nd and Saturday, July 23rd at the National Wrestling Hall of Fame, Dan Gable Museum in Waterloo, Iowa, the George Tragos, Lou Fez Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame, Hacksaw Jim Duggan to receive the Frank Gotch Award. Thank you again for taking time out of your day to talk to us.
Well, my pleasure, Eric. And even though it doesn't come over good on the internet, you got to give me a hold, young guy. Let's do it together. Ho! We'll see you in Iowa, tough guy.